Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And today I'd like to talk with you about a topic we covered a couple of years ago, but I thought it deserved another pass today since I have seen it still, you're still battling against it, a lot of you. Namely, I'd like to talk with you about the news, the things that we hear every day from the world for what should be a Christian's relationship to it. For we all watch the news or read the newspaper or see it on the internet, and you got that every day, and you hear stories like this. Robin Williams commits suicide by hanging himself. Or Muslim ISIS beheads the little children in Iraq. Or Ebola threatens Africa. Or America's troubles on the rise. Or this one this week, Florida. Duo busted for X-rated romp in a parking lot. Or this one on Thursday of this week. Even this, yes, antiperspirants may actually make you smell worse. Is it all bad news out there? I scoured across the whole page and several news agencies. I didn't find one article that was not depressing. And so today I want to talk about how do we keep our joy and peace alive in Christ when we hear of such news in the world. How can we avoid getting sucked into a depression, overwhelmed by it, and overcome by it? What's God have to say to his people today about that, with which we all have to do? Well, what can we say? The first thing we can say, and God says in his scripture, is that he acknowledges in the Bible that bad news does tend to make human hearts miserable. And let's take a look at an example of that in Isaiah chapter 7. Here we read of King Ahaz. He was the king of Judah, and there were two kings coming against him. It says, in the days of Ahaz, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it. But they could not conquer it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, his heart and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And so they were greatly afraid at the bad news that they heard from a far country. They were bemused, befuddled, downright scared because of it. And isn't this the case with us? Whenever you hear bad news in the world, don't your hearts shake like the trees of the forest before a mighty wind? It could be on an international level when you hear about China, Russia, Ukraine, Iraq, Afghanistan, European Union. It could be in a national level when you hear of political corruption and same-sex marriage and sexual immorality and even legalized pot coming to a state near you, perhaps in the next coming election. We get bad news on a personal level. Sometimes it's of a friend or to a loved one or of yourself that you hear of cancer or of a divorce or of a bill that you can't pay. And so bad news tends to make our hearts shake like the trees of the forest before a mighty wind. And there's sure a superabundance of bad news in this world, amen, to hear. And so that's number one. God acknowledges that that's what happens to human hearts. But secondly, he also tells us how he wants us to respond to that bad news. What's he say to us Christians? Well, for that, we just need to simply turn to Jesus. Matthew chapter 24. Listen up to this. As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will this be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? Jesus answered them, take heed that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ. And they'll lead many astray. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, earthquakes in various places. Then they'll deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. What do we learn about that? Number one, Jesus predicts our headlines today, 2,000 years ago. He knew that there'd be wars, rumors of wars, that there'd be falling away in the church. be false preachers and such things. So, number one, it shouldn't surprise you. Secondly, Jesus tells us here in this passage how he wants us to respond to all this bad news you hear every day. How does he want us to respond? I skipped over this verse. Did you catch that? You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, he says. And then he says, see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. See that you are not alarmed. What's God's will for you? To see that you're not alarmed by these things. See to it. What's that word? In the Greek, it's orate. Can you say that? Orate. Which is a command. And it means see to it. Be diligent. Beware. Take heed. Be sure. Be certain of what? That you are not alarmed. That word in the Greek is throeo. Sounds like you just want to throw it out, right? See to it that you are not troubled, it means. See that you're not disturbed. See that you're not greatly agitated by it. See that you're not aroused, annoyed, stirred up, or caused to get into a great clamor about these things, says and commands the Lord. That's his will for his people. See that you're not alarmed, for these things must take place. So what's God's word to you today so far? He acknowledges that your bad news will tend to make your heart shake like the trees of the forest before a wind. And secondly, he says, my will for you, though, is that you not be shaken, but that you not be alarmed, for these things must take place. So next question. How do we do that? How can I not be alarmed, Pastor, when I hear about all this stuff all the time? How can I not be afraid and thrown into great and alarm and turmoil when I hear it night and day and day and night? Isn't it okay to be grieved over such things? What do you think? Sure, that's fine. It's okay to be grieved. Remember Lot in the Bible? He lived in a really wonderful town, didn't he? Sodom. It was an evil town. It was a destructive town. It was an immoral town. And Lot, it says, was greatly distressed by the licentiousness of the wicked. And he was vexed in his righteous soul day after day for their lawless deeds. So is it okay to be vexed about these things? Thank you, Dennis. All right, you're awake. Dennis is awake. How about the rest of you? Raise your hand. All right. Do you know that God was grieved over the news in the world in the days of Noah? Do you know that Paul was grieved in his days about the Jews not coming to Christ, many of them? Do you know that Jesus was grieved in his days at the hardness of people's hearts and unbelief, and that he was so angry when he got to the temple that they were selling these things and making God's house a house of robbers instead of prayer? He made a whip of cords and drove them out. Is it righteous for you to be grieved and vexed and upset at some of the things you hear in the world? Say it.
Yes.
All right. We got that established. But note, you can be vexed, you can be upset at the injustice, but God doesn't want your heart shaken by it. Amen? He doesn't want you perplexed. He doesn't want you driven to despair like the rest of the world when you hear these things. He says, for these things must take place. So, how do you not be alarmed when you hear of these things? How do you not get afraid? Well, what is Jesus teaching us here? These things must take place. Teaches you that they are foreseen by God, that they are predicted by God, that these are part of God's great plan of the ages in Christ, and that they are under God's control. Say, under God's control. These things must take place. Now, don't forget this. Bad news makes you forget sometimes that God's in control, but when Jesus says that, he is saying these are foreseen, predicted, planned, and under God's oversight and control. Think about who's really in charge for a moment when you hear bad news, whether it be personal or international. Have you not known, God says, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And in Psalm 103, he says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. How much does God rule over? Does he rule over the destiny of nations? Acts chapter 17 says, and he made from one man every nation of men to live on the face of the whole earth, having determined their allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitations. Do you think that the nations and the destiny of nations is just like a free-for-all at the whim of man? Sure, we need to participate. We vote. We may even fight in a war or something, but the destinies of nations is in God's hand and control. Amen? How about the destinies of the wind, the raging of the sea, and the wind and the weather? In Job, we read, "Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunderings of his pavilion? Behold, he scatters his lightning about him, and he covers the roots of the sea." God commands the weather. He commands the sea and the raging of it. So you don't need to be afraid about that either. How about in your personal life when you hear bad news? Do you have to be afraid of that? Proverbs 16 says, "A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." So who's in charge of your life? Who determines its destiny? God does. So I want you to know, we are not, when you hear bad news, we are not on a reckless roller coaster with like nobody driving, just screaming across this earth at the will of chance. We are totally under God's control. All things are worked. And it says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, let me look that up for you. He says right here, "All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. He does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand." So God is in control. These things must take place. Jesus says, therefore, see that you're not alarmed. God's people don't need to shake at these things. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He's ruling right now on behalf of his church, Jesus is, with all power and authority. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God's in charge. So you can find peace and joy in that. Next, I might put this out to you. Think about this. You could actually turn off the news. Or at least set a limit to it. And certainly not set your hearts and hopes upon it. Now, I'm not saying that you're not to pay attention to the news or be informed or that you should become some reclusive hermit on a mountain. But I am saying I think some of you may be paying more attention to the news than is healthy. It can be an addictive sort of thing. You watch it and listen to it until it is overrunning your mind and coming out your ears and saturating your heart. Now, let me ask you a question. How are you going to be happy and fill the joy of Christ when all you do is fill your mind and ears with evil all day long? That's like getting up in the morning, tying two cinder blocks to your feet, jumping in the ocean here and expecting to swim. Ha! It's not going to work. Realize we also live in an unprecedented time in history. It used to be Farmer Joe would live out there in the country and tend his crops, and he'd come into town once or twice a month and get some news. Now you got it 24/7. You got a news agency who's scouring the earth, running around, their eyes are everywhere to find everything that's wrong with it and bring it into your living room 24/7. I want to ask, would you hang around with a person like that? Who complains and tells you everything wrong all the time? 24/7. If there's a breaking story about a lost plane or something, just newsworthy, yes. But if they have no new information forthcoming, what do? You sit there and you watch it hour after hour after hour, hoping something new, some new piece of new bad news or good news will come up. You can't turn it off. And as it's written in Proverbs, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels that go down into the innermost parts of the body. Are some of you addicted, perhaps, to the bad news? Well, I want you to consider something then. This is the next point. Is that what God wants you to set your heart and mind on day and night? Not saying that you're not to be not informed, but consider what God clearly now tells us in the Scriptures. And say the word clearly.
Clearly.
All right? Listen to these words. Psalm 101 says, "I will not set before my eyes anything that is base." That word is Belial in the Hebrew, which means I'll not set before my eyes anything that's wicked, that's vile, that's unprofitable, that is evil. What does the news agency want to do? Exactly. Set before your eyes day and night everything vile, evil, and unprofitable. I found this on the Drudge Report this week. Here's an article I saw. San Francisco strip club hosts job fair. And I came across that verse and I thought to myself, now do I as a Christian want to set that before my mind? And just, I think it's enough to just read that there's a title out there that that's going on. Should I just now set these things before my eyes? It says in the scriptures, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And Luke 12, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your mind and your thoughts set? Ephesians 5 says, it's a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. So when I hear about that article or some, like Miley Cyrus doing her twerking. I saw that on the news and I thought to myself, you know, it's enough for me to know that it happened. Do I really have to dive into it and see all this stuff and put that into my mind and thoughts and heart? Maybe there might be some profitable thing to preach on there. Maybe I might do it for that. But God's word says it's not fitting for saints to set before their eyes things that are base or even to speak of the things that the wicked do in secret. But the news agency wants to thrust that into your minds, into your ears, day and night. And guess what? Also, from a biased position, a single-sided position, from an unbiblical, ungodly, and often anti-Christian way of looking at things, such that it is put into your head this way. Should we be afraid of everything that the world is afraid of these days? We read here in Isaiah chapter 8, it says, the Lord spoke to me, thus with a strong hand upon me, says Isaiah, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread, but the Lord of hosts, let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Where is your heart and mind today? Is it on the Lord, fearing him? Don't be afraid of the things that the world is afraid of, says the Lord. Instead of tuning into all those things all the time, why don't you tune into God? Let him be your TV. Set your eyes on Jesus. Tune into his word. Let that be your radio. And listen to that day and night and see what happens to your heart. If you look at junk and see junk and set your mind and ears on junk all the way through the day, why should you be surprised if you feel junky? Why should I fear what the world fears? God wants me to fear him and him alone. And God tells us in the Bible where he wants your heart and your mind to be fixed and set upon. It says in Psalm 34, look to him and be radiant, so shall your faces never be ashamed. Hebrews 12, run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Is that where your eyes are? Well, you're racing and running through this life toward heaven, looking to him? Are you looking at everything around you? I keep the Lord always before me, says David. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Paul says in Romans 8, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Where is your heart and mind set today? 1 Corinthians 7 says, the form of this world is passing away. Everything we see is fading anyway. But Philippians 3 says, I forget what lies behind, and I strain forward what lies ahead. I press on for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And Jesus has a word for us about the last days in which we're living. He says, there'll be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That's unbelievers. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But then Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Where does the unbelieving world look in all these things? To the flesh, and what happens? Foreboding, fear, perplexity, and that's all predicted. But of God's people, God says, I want you not to shake like the trees of the forest before the wind. I want you to be looking on my word, my kingdom, my son, me, over all these things, and in that to find your joy and peace. Does that make sense? You open up that newspaper, and they are going to fill you with everything wrong that's possibly could be found. Now, we need to understand those, but think about what if you were to open heaven's newspaper? What are the angels reading this morning over their coffee? Not that they have coffee, but what would they read? They might read things like this, such as what the Voice of the Martyrs has found. Enclosed atheistic communist China, 3,000 Christians come to Christ every day, which is apparently a recorded fact. 40 years ago in Indonesia, there were only 1.3 million Christians. Now there's 11 million. Good news. In Nepal, a closed country before 1960, there wasn't a Christian found in the whole state. Now there's 500,000. In Korea in 1900, there wasn't one Protestant church in the whole country. Now there's 7,000 in the city of Seoul alone. In AD 100, there was one Christian for every 360 unbelievers. Now it's one for every seven. And 500 Muslims come to Christ every day in Iran. 20,000 Africans. In 1900, Africa was 3% Christian. Now it's over 50%. Heaven's newspaper is looking great. But guess what? CBS, NBC, ABC, even Drudge Report and Fox News, they're not covering that for you because they are not scouring the world to find what's good in it. They're scouring it to find what's wrong and to bring that into your living room. Rather, God says to us, set our eyes on things above. And whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure, whatever is lovely and gracious, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And I want to ask you right now, do you do that? Is that where you're setting your heart and mind? Paul says, if you do these things and follow what I do, the God of peace will be with you. While the world sets its eyes on the evil and fears, Christians set their eyes on God and rejoices as more than conquerors, on his kingdom, his son, his power, his love, his majesty, his gospel, his mission, his good news. And the Bible says, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You want some good news from a far country right now? You ready for that? Listen to this good news. Once long ago, in a region out in the field, there were shepherds keeping a watch over their flock by night. And an angel came and appeared to them and said, and the glory of the Lord shone around, and said, they were filled with fear. And the angel said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Yes, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. How far is this from? Heaven. That's a far country. But this is good news, and it's water for your thirsty soul, friends. Because I declare to you right now that over all things, Jesus Christ is ruling. He's the Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And Peter says, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Hooray! Do you believe in him today? Are you forgiven? That's his good news and gift. Therefore, since we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that good news? What if you have bad things in your personal life, but you have peace with God, the promise of heaven? I got good news to lay hold of today. Make my spirit rejoice. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're free. You don't have to fear the day of judgment. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. As we look on Jesus, and we've been born anew to an inheritance, which is imperishable. Say these after me. Imperishable. Undefiled. Unfading. Kept in heaven for you. Who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Friends, we have a king. And he loves you, and he's saved you, and he has conquered death. He's conquered the devil. He's conquered hell, and he's given us forgiveness of sins, eternal treasures. He's given us the kingdom, the shining city before us. He's given us help along the way, the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. never ends forever and ever. You have much good news to rejoice in as he leads you as more than conquerors through him who loved us. So set your minds and your hearts on this. You're going to hear the word of the news, and that's good. Be informed. Be knowledgeable. But don't let it get in your heart and your mind. Set those and reserve those for God and his son, Jesus Christ. For I'll tell you something. The good news of our God in Jesus Christ is so super abundantly greater than all the evil that you'll ever meet in the world as to overcome it and conquer it by Jesus Christ. So don't be alarmed. Jesus says, I've said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have and do have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen.